Welcome to Teaching Writing. Today's episode is on reporting technical information, which is Chapter 8 from our recent book, The Concise Guide to Technical Communication. That book's available from Broadview Press, and there are links to the publisher's website and to other resources to support the people teaching with the book on wecanwrite.ca. My name is Roger Graves, and together with Heather Graves, I'm the co-author of that book. In the previous episode of the podcast, we talked about progress reports, white papers, and recommendation reports. These are the kind of genres of reports that you would typically see in a business or technical context. Today, we're going to focus on reporting technical information in the context of laboratory, so of the lab report. Now, a lab report is based on a lab notebook. So what we need to really start talking a little bit about is, what's the lab notebook? What is that? What's contained in it? There's really three things. The first is your actions. The second is your observations. And the third is your thoughts on about those actions and observations. Just as it is with genres that exist in many other specific disciplines like the law and so on, there are very specific aspects of lab notebooks which have to do with integrity. So the first thing that they demand is that it's a bound volume, which is to say you can't add pages to it. So you don't want a loose leaf binder kind of thing. The pages need to be numbered and dated in sequence. And all entries should be in waterproof, non-erasable ink. And you can't leave blank pages that could consequently be filled in later. So these are all having to do with the integrity of that record of activities. Now, entries in the notebook are usually in two different parts. The first part is the introduction or pre-lab portion, and then the second part is the narrative or the in-lab section, where you're taking notes about what you did in the lab itself. So in the pre-lab context, or the introduction, what you're going to put is things like the title of the experiment, the location and date, the goal for the experiment, citations of relevant background literature, descriptions of materials used, and information about safety data, the account of experimental conditions and reactions, and the description of the experimental procedure you plan to follow. The in-lab narrative is the part, what's going to be in that is a detailed account of exactly what you did. One of the key things there is you're going to need to separate speculation from reality. So there are things which you saw and observed, and then there are speculations about why that occurred or why you might be seeing that. And the third thing you need to do there is you need to record every measurement. And this is your raw data for the experiment. When you write the lab report, this is the data that you need to be able to go back to and be very, very specific and exact about. So having conducted the experiment, you need to have your notebook with you, and then you need to get the following information in front of you. First, the data that is drawn from the narrative in your lab notebook, the results calculated from the raw data on the notebook, your knowledge of the theories or principles underlying the experiment, and any references or sources for these theories or principles. The report consists really of four different kinds of things. First is the title. Now that's going to have the authors listed on it. It may be your name plus also anybody else who was doing the experiment with you. The course and section number, the day and time of the lab, and the date you conducted the experiment. There may be other information that your instructor requires on that as well. In the introduction, you need to clearly state the purpose of the experiment, describe the nature and scope of the problem being investigated, review relevant literature, limit the background to what readers need to know, identify clearly how your data refer to what is known and what is also not known about the topic, include any definitions or principles that readers need to understand the experiment. The third section is the procedures and materials. Sometimes in the course notes, that's all going to be laid out for you, certainly at a introductory kind of course level. But as you get farther into your education in the third and fourth year, that may not be the case. And you're going to need to be very explicit about the procedures and the materials that you used. Finally, the fourth section is the results. So the results section presents your findings. You have to describe how you got your results, and you have to explain their significance, that is to say, what they mean. Now, within the results section, you need to organize and present your data. And one of the ways you're going to be doing that is creating some visuals. And often the most important visual is going to be a table of specific data. You may also, however, choose to use a chart or diagrams and illustrations of particular kinds of things. Now, if you have created a table and you've used that you've included that, one of the things you have to also do, though, is verbally describe your results. And one of the ways to think about that is that it's a kind of a tour guide's commentary on the numbers. So you're presenting these numbers to them in a table, but you have to sort of direct their attention to the numbers that are significant or patterns within the numbers, whatever. But you have to provide that commentary, not just assume that they can derive it for themselves. The last section is the discussion section. And what it's got to do is not restate the results, because you just said what they were, but you need to make clear what the results mean and why they're important. So in the introduction, you describe the problem and the reason for conducting the experiment. In the discussion section, you explain what it is you've learned about that problem and what you've contributed to understanding of it. The final section of the report is probably the references. There may be an appendix when we have complete data and things like that, but usually the references is the last section. And the key thing to remember here is that there's probably a style sheet that's been specified for the way the references should be presented. And there's a lot of different kinds of style sheets out there. There's Vancouver style, there's the Council of Science Editors. So you need to figure out what your instructor wants. And if you are the instructor, you need to be specific about which style sheet you want students to follow. Well, thanks for listening. My name is Roger Graves. More information about Chapter 8 and resources to support the teaching of it are available on weekendwrite.ca.